Hello, and thank you for joining Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. I'm your host, Crystal Baker Gill, and our topic today is kind of multifaceted. We're going to kind of explore a little about moral injury. We'll share a little bit about that. We'll talk about Veterans Day and also go into some of the things that some of our veteran parents experience. So again, my name is Crystal Baker Gill. Our guest today is Chaplain Joseph Bakota. He's the chaplain of our North Carolina affiliate division of our VOA Chesapeake and Carolinas. Chaplain Joe served in the military for more than 20 years. He did 4 combat tours. Wow. 3 in Iraq and 1 in Afghanistan. So he is now, as I said, the chaplain of our affiliate that works with our supportive service for veterans families. He works with a lot of veterans there, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit about how our veterans have been affected, you know, through COVID, through changes and things that are taking place right now, and share a little bit about moral injury, what it is, and how he has led that charge to kind of bring moral injury to the moral injury training, I should say, to those families that we serve. Chaplain Joe, welcome.
Hey, Crystal, how are you? Glad to be here.
I'm doing well. Okay, so I guess we can start with a little bit. I know we talked before. You're a past guest, so, you know, you're coming back. So you're a boomerang. Right. We love that.
Right.
So tell me, Veterans Day for you, how was Veterans Day for you as a, you know, as someone who served in our military, and what does it mean to you?
Well, Veterans Day is really important to me. Like you said, I was a veteran for over 20 years and 4 combat tours. So it's definitely, you know, it's very important to me honoring the ones who served. I heard a gentleman one time say, you know, a nation who forgets its defenders will soon be forgotten itself. And that really, I heard that years ago, and that stayed with me. And I heard that when I was in the military, but I didn't really think of it that way, even when I served it. Because when you're serving, you know, you're just doing your job. You know, you don't really think about the impact that it has around people around you or the impact for your nation, you know, that selfless service and that sacrifice. I mean, you know, you're making the sacrifice, but you know, you just tell people, I'm just doing my job, ma'am. I'm just doing my job, sir. And then when you get out of it though, you really appreciate and really start to think, wow, God, you know, you really kept me through a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of wars and, you know, and just 20 years of not seeing your friends and family and serving and sacrificing and being in combat and being in war and all the PTSD or moral injury, which we're going to talk about later, of what that may happen or just distress and anxiety. Literally, you put your life on the line every day to serve this country. And a lot of times you're doing it just because you have a family of your own and you're trying to support your own family. So, you know, you're putting your life on the line for the benefit of somebody else. So it means a lot to me personally, because I've been in it and I've done it for a long time. But also just my fellow, you know, brothers and sisters in arms, you know, who've done the same thing, whether they served just a couple of years or just a little bit or served 20 years, it really doesn't matter. You know, to me, you served and you put your sacrifice on the line. So it's definitely more than just, you know, getting a free meal at Applebee's or something, even though that's cool. I mean, I really enjoy it. This year, though, I didn't do that. I was actually, you know, just spending time with family and doing different things, kind of taking a break, you know, from all the moral injury training and things that I've been doing. So this Veterans Day, I just relaxed. I didn't go out to eat or nothing. I just spent it with family. But I do thank the restaurants and different people that, you know, put those things on for us veterans to say thank you. We appreciate it. And it means a lot to me. And I really enjoy, you know, celebrating our veterans, because I believe we deserve it. You know, that America calls us America's finest for a reason. And I really do honor those who honored us with their service.
So you kind of mentioned some of the experiences that you've had while you were away, while you were doing your combat tours. And I'm sure there are many others who have had some of the same, you know, experiences that you've had. What are some of the challenges that our veterans are facing right now, you know, and during this time, during this period?
Well, quite a bit. I know just recently, just the Taliban taking over Afghanistan. That's a big one. And that one hit me personally, too, because I served in Afghanistan. And when we were over there, our main priority was to, you know, support the local Afghanis against the Taliban so the Taliban wouldn't take over. So that was our main job. And we flew into, you know, Kandahar Airfield, which is a major international airport over there. And, you know, we helped secure Kandahar Airport and all that so the Taliban couldn't take it over. So when we pulled out and the Taliban took over the country, it felt like a big betrayal, quite frankly, to myself personally, but also all my brothers and sisters I served with. But just a big slap in the face and betrayal to everything we did in those 14 or so years that we were over there. It just felt like all the sacrifice and the time and the serving and the people who were killed and all of that. It's like, what was it for? Right. So there was a lot of pain and suffering and heartache. And quite frankly, to some of us, it felt like our country betrayed us and betrayed the service that we so love to serve. So that was just, you know, in the last 6 months or so, that was a big one. You know, just Veterans Day too. Thankfully, after 9/11, and unfortunately 9/11 happened, but one good thing that did come from it was, you know, America started to appreciate its heroes. It started to appreciate our military, you know, and a lot of civilians now say, thank you for your service and all that. But if you remember, like after Vietnam, that wasn't the case. You know, we spit on our veterans, you know, we called them baby killers and all these other things. And, you know, so America really didn't receive our veterans very well. And that's just on the civilian side. Don't get me talk about, you know, the lack of medical care that they came back to, if anything. So medical care was very, very tough. So just the ostracization and betrayal from the very country that we, you know, that we were serving, and some, particularly Vietnam, a lot of us were drafted. So we didn't have a choice, you know, so we fought a war, whether we liked it or didn't like it, we had to go over there for some of us. And to come back to not that hero's welcome was very devastating. And for some people, you know, there's still a lot of Vietnam veterans that are still alive today. So they still carry that with them. You know, thank God that, you know, if they overcame that and that, you know, they made good lives for themselves, unfortunately, some of them didn't. And they chose to do addictions and alcohol addictions and drug addictions. And, you know, they suffered severe PTSD and mental health, not to mention if they ever got blown up or caught on fire or lost limbs or anything like that, because now you have to deal with quality of life issues. And, you know, they don't have the, they have to mourn and grieve their life that they used to have, because now it's different. And some of them grieved and they were able to process it. And, you know, again, they made successful lives of themselves. Other people committed suicide, unfortunately. So suicide is another thing that veterans face, particularly now in the holidays, because as the holidays, as you know, you would think it's a festive and wonderful time, and it is, but it's also highest suicide rates. So around Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, veterans who are lonely, who feel they don't have anybody, or another thing veterans face is this idea that because they're veterans, civilians don't understand me. They don't get me. They don't understand where I'm coming from, or I'm too baggage. You know, if you knew what I did, if you knew who I killed, or if you knew what I did, or if you knew my missions, you know, you wouldn't like me. So there's a sense of depression and or anxiety or isolation that they go through, and which turns to the bottle, which turns to alcohol, which turns to drugs, addictions, because they feel they're all alone, because they feel nobody gets me. Nobody knows my hurt or pain, or nobody understands what I've been through. And unfortunately, there is some truth to that. Unless you've been in it, you really don't know. And veterans know that. So there's a sense of isolation and loneliness that comes, particularly during the holidays, you know. And then unfortunately, then when you go to a, say, a holiday event, they'll say, well, tell me about your war in Iraq. Tell me what happened over there. And sometimes they just don't want to talk about it. It's like, I don't want to tell you. I was too busy living. Okay. And a lot of people don't understand that. So, you know, we have to process our own way as well. And unless you've been there, you really don't know, which again leads to more isolation, more individuality, and therefore people don't get me, which leads to suicidal thoughts and so on and so forth. So there's a lot going on right now.
So it gets to that place of, what do you do with that pain? What do you do with those feelings that you have and that you're harboring inside and haven't found a way to let it out, right? So I want to go into kind of talk about moral injury, because that's where we are right now. That's
okay.
So, and I want to give a working definition of moral injury. So moral injury is the suffering people experience when they're in high stakes situations. Things go wrong and harm results. Their challenges that they're facing, their deep moral code, and their ability to trust in others. And also it challenges their ability to trust in themselves. Harm may be something they did. It may be something they witnessed. It could be something that was done to them. But it results in moral emotions like shame, guilt, self-condemnation, outrage, and sorrow. That definition works for you, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So we're talking about moral injury. So tell me a little about how you came about, or, you know, kind of teaching, or how you learned about moral injury, the concept, because it's fairly new, right?
It is. And I got to give Volunteers of America huge kudos for this. I actually learned it through Volunteers of America, to be honest. You know, all my training in the military was revolved around PTSD, right? And TBI, traumatic brain injury. So TBI and mental health and PTSD were concepts I was very familiar with. And these were things that they teach in the Army quite extensively. So particularly when you come back from combat and stuff like that. So PTSD, TBI, things like that, I was very familiar with. Moral injury was a concept that I would say I knew it biblically, you know, violation of your morals, violation of your ethics, things like that. But we never actually had a name for it. So when Volunteers of America and Dr. Rita Brock really is the one who was, you know, one of the pioneers of this and really the front runners of this. And then when Volunteers of America made that commercial that was on Times Square a couple of years back in New York City, and then when Volunteers of America really took the ball and said, we're going to be one of their lead leaders in moral injury and treating it and fighting it and identifying it, diagnosing it and such, I was like, yeah, I can relate to that. I know what that is. Like you said, it's a violation of your character. It's a violation of your morals. It's a violation of your conscience. It's a violation of you in some way. And unless it gets treated, there's really no way to deal with it. And unfortunately, in the medical world, they just say treat it with more pills, you know, treat it with more medication. But I wanted to do something different than that. I wanted to, from a spiritual perspective, you know, I identify it and then help try to be a part of the treatment process. So Volunteers America, you know, moral injury, you know, I didn't really know what it was, but when they explained it, I'm like, yeah, from a biblical perspective, that makes sense. And then it's like, okay, now I know what it is, you know, so let's go ahead and start getting treating it. So from there, I looked into it. I wanted to be a moral injury facilitator or a, you know, lead teacher, and then COVID hit. So as you know, like everything switched, everything changed. And moral injury kind of was like on the back burner for me. It was still kind of always there, but I could never get to it because now I had to like get masks and quarantine and change your working schedule and all these other things. So it's like, okay, we're not doing moral injury right now. That's on the back burner. We're going to do all these other things too. So moral injury was on the back burner, but it was on the back burner for about a year and a half. And then once we got vaccinated and things started coming, and it's like, okay, let's get moral injury to the forefront again. But even then, moral injury changed. Because Dr. Rita Brock, and thank God for the Shea Center, because they discovered a lot of people are having moral injury now because of COVID, right? Because a lot of people had died, and a lot of family members have died. And then because of quarantine, you know, they couldn't see their loved ones, and then they died and they never got to say goodbye. And, you know, or if they did get to say goodbye, like how long does COVID stay in a dead body? You know, so, you know, how do you bury them? And then the morgues and these funeral homes got backed up. So it may be a month or two before you could do a funeral. And by the way, I had to experience all that myself because back in September, my mom passed on September 10th. So I had my own little moral injury, if you will, I had to go through. And all that happened to me. You know, when you go to see her, you got to be all geared up like in the bubble suit. And then, you know, but when she died, you know, COVID was still in her body. So when my brother went to see her, my brother got COVID and then he almost died. Thank God he came out of it. So all these things I'm talking about, I had to live myself. So all these things about COVID created a moral injury. So I say all that to say this, Dr. Rita Brock and the Shea Center, they invented a new class or a new thing, or whatever you want to call it, called MIRAC, Moral Injury for the Recovery of the Aftermath of COVID. And to make a long story short, I volunteered to be a MIRAC facilitator. And I went through the process. And to be a process, you have to be a client. You actually have to go through the class and do your moral injury thing too. Now, little did I know when I went through it, it was like June, July of this year. So my mom had not passed yet. And so I was just going through it and whatever. And then little did I know 3-4 months later, I'd have to use the very thing that I went through. But I became a MIRAC facilitator. And back in June, July, and I actually hosted in July, my own facilitation of everybody throughout the United States of America got on this call and I was the host. And then I started bringing MIRAC facilitation to the staff members at Chesapeake and Carolinas. And also too, we started a moral injury peer group with the homeless veterans at Maple Court in Durham, North Carolina. So it started small, but then it just kind of continued to grow and expand from there.
So tell me about, you talked about the peer group, the moral injury peer group mm-hmm. that takes place at the Maple Court location. So tell me about that peer group and the veterans and things that you work with, you know, during that group. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a veteran-led group. And as you know, when you do a peer group, basically the peer group teaches themselves. You're just basically the moderator. And it's a group of veterans because it's homeless veterans that live at Maple Court. And as a veteran myself, they wanted it to make sure that the host or the facilitator is a veteran, you know, themselves. And since I am a veteran, I fit the bill. So I volunteered to lead this 6-week group. And what I did is I took the 60-hour course that they do at the Shea Center, and I basically condensed it into like a 6-hour course because I couldn't do 60 hours with the homeless veterans. You know, they have too many appointments with the VA and medical and everything else that they have to do. So what I did is I decided to take a 6-hour course, condense it. And then I just basically decided, okay, between this 120-page manual that they gave me from the Shea Center, what can I do out of this huge manual? So I went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and I said, okay, we can do this, and we can do that, and we can do this, and we can do that. And after I did all that, me and Cindy Thompson came up with a 6-week peer group program that they can go through. And we just graduated 3, by the way, back on November 9th. So we just graduated 3 veterans through the moral injury peer group training, where we basically helped them process their hurts, their hangups, their feelings, whether it be COVID or non-COVID related. They can do either or. So it could be their military service, it could be their family, it could be any, you know, relationships that went sour, anything basically that they went through. You know, this moral injury hits all of that. And so we did a 6-week program to kind of deal with all that. And we tell people, like, this is not like the cure all, it ends all. This is just the beginning stages, just to kind of identify some stuff and then to give you skills and resources to help you. You know, if you need more training or more injury, you know, they also teach moral injury at the VA in Durham. So then we would just, you know, transfer them to the VA in Durham. And Chaplain Ryan Parker is the one who teaches that. And I'm good friends with Ryan. So I can say, hey, Ryan, we got some people coming to you, what have you. But yeah, so we've done that. And then at the end, we give them a big old pizza party. We give them certificates saying they graduated the course. So we were very happy. This is our very first time we've ever brought moral injury of that program to Maple Court. And even only 3 people went through it, I think it was a huge success. And we look forward to starting it up again in January. And then also, too, online, we have a thing called Train the Trainers, where we basically teach the staff in the Chesapeake and the Carolinas, if they want to bring like a similar 6-week program to their location, me and Cindy get up, we send out a Zoom link, and people can get on that Zoom link, and I teach them basically what I do in that 6-week peer group training. I basically give them all the resources, the materials, and everything that I do. And I say, you can tweak it to your location and you can bring moral injury training, a peer group training to your location as well. So we do the Maple Court, we do the Train the Trainer, and we do the MIRAC for all the staff. So it's been keeping me pretty busy.
So how has the training been received by the veterans, by the, you know, the individuals in your program?
Oh, they loved it. After it was all over, they're like, wow, that was really good. When they got their certificate, and I didn't know, since this was our first one, I didn't really know how they were going to respond, but they almost cried. Like, they were so happy to get the certificate saying they completed something. And then they actually got a gift card too, which they was really happy about. And then they got a pizza party. So free food is always good. But they loved it. They're like, wow, you guys hooked us up. You know, you guys, you know, not only did we go through the program, but then you celebrated us. And they were so thankful and they were so happy and they felt so good that they actually received recognition for what they did. And that's very military as well. I mean, when you do something well, you get an award, you know, you get a ribbon on your uniform, whatever. So rewarding your effort is a very, you know, militant way of thinking of things. And they really received it well. They're like, thank you for the, you know, their certificate. Thank you for honoring us and all that kind of stuff. And they really enjoyed it. So we look forward to doing it again.
And so when is your next course? When is it scheduled to begin, the next session?
I have to look at it. I want to say Train the Trainers the 14th of January. It's going to be 2022. It's going to be January 2022. The next Maple Court one, I know I suggested doing basically the second Tuesday when we come back from the New Year's, because the first Tuesday we're trying to get back into things. But the next Maple Court, when I have January 10th is what I put on the schedule. And then the Train the Trainers is 14 January. And then the MIRAC, I always have the last Friday of the month, which is going to be 28 January. So we'll get with Donna and put them on the schedule. So those are the 3 things we're trying to, you know, after Christmas and Thanksgiving and the New Year's is over, we're going to try to put them on the schedule again and make those happen to try to, you know, bring them up. I even had one staff member when we went through the MIRAC. He's like, wow. He's like, this MIRAC, this needs to be through every staff member, all 1,000 of them. He's like, everybody needs to go through this. So we got a lot of good encouragement through the MIRAC as well. It really helped people cope with, you know, a lot of pain and suffering and anxiety and stress that people have been going through in the last almost 2 years now with COVID. You know, thank God we found a way to get through it. But a lot of people suffered tremendously and lost loved ones and stuff like that because of it. So the MIRAC was very well received as well. And I'm very, very thankful that I'm a MIRAC facilitator.
So we have their plans to kind of expand it outside of the organization and bring in other churches and other organizations as well, right?
Absolutely. We just had a meeting, me and our outreach coordinator, Megan, and we met with a deacon who's in the Catholic diocese here in North Carolina. And we're looking forward to hopefully bringing, starting with moral injury to the Catholic churches in the different areas that we support. You know, we have offices in Fayetteville, Durham, Rocky Mount, and Salisbury, North Carolina. So we're trying to partner with the Catholic diocese first and all those cities that we have offices. And hopefully we can bring moral injury to those particular locations. And the cool thing too, the deacon we met with, his name is Josh. He used to be a special forces guy in the military. So when I mentioned moral injury, he was really, you know, lit up and giddy about it because that's something he could relate to very, very easily. So yeah, we're very excited about that future partnership that we can do with the Catholic diocese and then hopefully bring it to other faith groups throughout our communities as well. So we're really trying to help churches and stuff like that identify moral injury to their veterans and then hopefully give them the training. Because if you ever go through the Train the Trainer classes, these skills aren't just for veterans. Like this course, anybody can use it. And the skills that you use, you know, civilian pastors, leaders, or even if you're not a Christian church leader, any person who gets their hands on these skills can use it and really help you with stress and anxiety and depression and everything else. So we're trying to bring this moral injury to basically anybody, even outside of VOA, so they can have the skills and resources to not only use it for themselves, but also the congregation that they serve in.
What are some basic concepts that we could take away just, you know, during our conversation for moral injury and individuals who may be experiencing it?
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple of things that we do just in MIRAC is we have this thing called belly breathing, which really helps you. You know, you just take a couple deep breaths, slow breaths in and slow breaths out. And what that really does is it helps you declutter your mind. It helps you with depression and anxiety and stress and something that you're familiar with the, you know, on Tuesdays, you have those meditation moments where it's kind of the same thing where you basically declutter everything that got you messed up in the first place, anxiety and stress and trauma and all the stuff that you may be going through. And you just take time just to calm yourself down. And what that does is that helps you, you know, to get refocused and it helps you deal with some of the stress and anxiety that you're going through. The other thing that you do is we teach people is get with somebody who listens to you. And then as you're speaking, we do this thing right here where we put our hand on our heart like this and we call it active listening or deep listening. And when they say something that's very traumatic or moves you deeply, you know, you put your hand on your heart like this to show them that you really care and you're really actively listening to what they're saying. And you'd be surprised what that does for people when you do that, because it gives them a sense of connection and a sense of intimacy with you, knowing that you truly do care about what they're sharing. And then lastly, what we do is we actually write down, like we journal things that are bothering us, things that we are unresolved, you know, what is really the issue or issues that's got you messed up? And sometimes it's really hard to articulate it until you write it down and you just start writing out your feelings and you get all your mess on paper. So you can physically read and see what it is inside of you that you got going on. And sometimes we really don't know until we take the time to express it. So just, you know, journaling your thoughts, journaling your feelings, and then with belly breathing and in deep listening is a way to get all this mess out of us, bring it to the surface. And then once it's to the surface, now you can deal with it in a healthy, wise, and educated manner, as opposed to just leaving it in there. And then eventually you blow up like a volcano and you're like, what is that? Moral injury is kind of a proactive approach to deal with what's in there before it becomes really nasty and serious. So these are just things that you can do every day of your life to calm down, refocus, and then deal with what's really angering you get it out, and then that way you can deal with it.
So Chaplain Joe, thank you for joining us today. If you could tell me, you know, how, if someone wanted to find out more information about moral injury, the classes that you have, is there a website or a link or something? I know we could direct them to our website, to voachesapeake.org, but is there a specific link where they could connect to you or to learn more about classes?
Yeah, well, first of all, if you want to learn more about moral injury and what VOA is doing, just Google the Moral Injury, the Shea Center in Maryland. And Dr. Rita Brock has all the resources and stuff there, because all the resources I have originally came from them. So if you just want to know as an overall generalistic term, you know, just Google the Shea Center in Maryland and go to their website, and they'll have everything there. If you want to get a hold of me, I can give you my email. It's jbahota, B-A-C-H-O-T-A at voacarolinas.org. And then you can email me anytime, or, you know, get on my cell phone and call me. And I have access to all those materials, and I have no problem talking with you or setting up those classes online. Now, what we do now is every month as these are going on, Donna sends out an email so you can register for the classes. You can be on the classes. And then that way you'll have a date on your calendar, and then you'll be able to come on to the whether it's a train the trainer or whether it's a MIRAC. And you can come on, and if you go on to the train the trainer, again, at the end of the class, I will give you all the materials that I talk about in the class. So you can start a 6-week program at your location. So you'll have all the materials, everything you need. Plus also too, you'll also get a certificate as well, saying that you completed MIRAC and saying you completed train the trainers. And the cool thing about that is you can upload that in the Paycom when you're done.
My final question I want to ask, I want to get this in before we go in. So you had some good news. So I know when we talked with you last time, you and your family had some new additions. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, real quick, just before Halloween, we got two new foster kids. But the difference is because we had some two boys before, and we had them for like 8 months, but then they found their uncle and grandmother in Texas. So we had to shift in July and give those boys to their relatives in Texas. So we went about 3-4 months and we're like, okay, God, was that it? I guess we're not going to have any kids. So, but then at the end of September, we got a call saying, hey, there's two kids, a 5-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl that are in need of adoption. The parents gave up the rights and they need somebody to adopt them like right now. Would you guys be interested? And at first I was like, oh my God, I still have to bury my mom. You know, it's like, I don't know what is going on. But to make a long story short, we took them on and we got them like at the end of October. And if all goes well, they have their court date in April of next year. And then once that happens, the judge will, you know, basically, you know, judge in our favor. And then we can start the adoption process, which they said won't take long because they've been in foster care for a while. So hopefully around June, July of next year, I'll be having two more kids. I say two more because we already have a 28-year-old son and an 18-year-old daughter, but now we're going to have a 5 and a 3-year-old. So
starting all over again.
Starting all over again. So yeah, we're going to be a family of 6 here pretty soon.
Congratulations. I see it. I'm speaking it into existence. It's going to happen. Everything will go smoothly. I definitely wish you guys much success with that.
Well, thank
and
you.
I'm sure you and your wife are pretty pleased and pretty happy about it.
We are. We are. Keep us in prayer, though, because we found out that they also have a 10-month-old little sister.
Oh, wow.
We found that out, too. And we told the social workers that we would take her if that's what happened. So, yeah, I might get even more hot and heavy around here pretty soon. But yeah, as of right now, we're going to, you know, try to adopt these two and go from there. We've been trying to extend our family for a long time. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about it. But yeah, so continue to keep us in prayer because we got a full house going on over here in Wake Forest, North Carolina.
That's exciting, though. It's exciting news. It's always great. Thank you again. Thank you for joining us on Vision and Voices. I am your host, Crystal Baker Gill. Vision and Voices is a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. To learn more about Volunteers of America Chesapeake and Carolinas, moral injury, or what we do, visit www.voachesapeake.org. To hear this podcast and others like it, visit dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. Thank you and take care.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.